So what is the essence of the Buddha's teaching? Yeah? What is it? What is it? Ah, yes, that one is the Dhammapada verse 183. Yeah? Dhammapada verse 183. Yeah. Avoid all evil, do good, purify your mind. But the main key essence of his teaching that summarizes to us all of life, both mundane and super mundane, is the Four Noble Truths. So the Four Noble Truths is the essence. You see, the Buddha is so wise. After he realized enlightenment, after a long period of cultivation, aeons and aeons and aeons of cultivation, he came to realize this Four Noble Truths. And these are not ordinary truths. Because noble truth means when you understand this truth, it will make you noble ones or enlightened ones. That's why these truths are very unique. So this Four Noble Truths is how he summarized to us. Summary of life and existence. Both mundane and supramundane. So who in this universe can do that by just summarizing it into Four Noble Truths? And all of life and existence, both mundane and supramundane, are inside that. That's why all his other teachings spring off from there. They actually, from the Four Noble Truths and its three turning, they arise. All the essential Dhamma that I mentioned, all the Buddha's teachings. So this is the uniqueness of his teaching. And when you understand this, you understand life. And when you understand life, you know how to live life. Careful. Yeah? Understand this, you understand life. And when you understand life, you know how to live life. Means you can free your mind, liberate your mind. Develop the enlightenment in the here and the now. So this is most important. If you don't understand this teaching, you come to this world, you will suffer. You will become miserable. So now we go into it. What is the first noble truth? First noble truth. First noble truth of dukkha. And what is this first noble truth? Dukkha is a Pali word. They explain it as unsatisfactoriness, or sometimes they use the extreme word suffering, misery. All of your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, unhappiness, unsatisfactoriness. When you cannot get what you want, when things don't go your way, when your craving are not satisfied. All this will lead to the mind that has this, what the Buddha called dukkha. So dukkha means unsatisfactoriness, or sometimes they translate as suffering. So this is actually to explain to you the realities of life and existence. Means within life, the Buddha said, these realities of life and existence, there are eight. The eight realities of life and existence. So when you live life long enough, you have to confront them. And when you confront them without understanding, you will suffer. You will become afflicted, miserable. That's why you look at the world. The Buddha called this prevalence of suffering. You know the meaning of this word, isn't it? Huh? Prevalence. Pain suffering is very common everywhere. Nowadays, not only adults, even young children, they also have dukkha. So prevalence of suffering means this is the mundane aspect of life, the eight realities. Whatever you experience and go through in life is not apart from this eight reality. And what are they? Huh? The first four is what? Birth, old age, sickness and death. Okay? That one, very easy to understand, isn't it? When you confront birth, yeah, at your age, old age sickness also very common. And you have seen how death can create a lot of suffering, misery. So death of a breadwinner, death of a loved one, all this can lead to suffering, misery. Then the fear of having terminal disease, dreadful disease. Even nowadays, heart attack very common. HIV, even diabetic, silent killer. Then you also have cancer, major killer. Then COVID-19, we just went through. So birth, old age, sickness and death. These are reality. When you confront without the understanding of this teaching, you cannot take it, you will be afflicted. Especially getting old as you age. You become more and more dependent on a lot of other things to sustain your life. First is you visit the doctor and the hospital more. Then you have to maybe depend more on medication, both Western, maybe traditional, TCM. So birth, always sickness, very easy to understand now at our age. Death also very easy to understand. And these are reality that cover a major part of humanity. Then what is the next one? What is the next one? The reality. Separation from your loved one and prized possession. Things that you hold on to dearly, they will lead to suffering. Separation can come in many ways and not necessarily death. Relationship failure also lead to separation. Divorce, then misunderstanding between children and parents, between siblings, between even friends, neighbors and other things. Then separation can also be related to your wealth, your possession. When you make a mistake in life, when there is crisis, economic crisis, or major crisis happening in the world, you can just be affected. Your business, everything that you think you own, suddenly gone. Then, can you take it? How are you going to respond to all this? So separation is a very severe reality that humanity need to confront and experience and go through. And without this Dhamma understanding, you cannot cope. Then the next one is what? When you are with people whom you don't like, okay? Who are they? If you are working career people, you have bosses and maybe those above you, you call what? Your superior, okay? They actually harass you and put fear into you. They go by management, by fear and harassment to force you to deliver. Yeah, you're scared of losing your job. That's why a lot of people in the working career, they confront with a lot of situation that leads to fear, worry, anxiety until they break down. until they go into depression, some become like cuckoo. Then they do a lot of stupid things. Some they commit suicide and other things. Then the seventh one is when things don't go your way, when you cannot get what you want, when your expectations in life are not met. And these are very common. So all this lead to suffering. Then finally the Buddha said, in short, it is because of our self-delusion, sakkayadity, that conditions us to grasp and cling on to this five aggregate of form and mind that I call dukkha. That final summary is the most important, because everything in life you try to relate, it will fall into one of these eight realities. Can never run. You can name me anything, I will explain to you why it falls into all this reality. Maybe under modern day term, birth is normally associated with what? New moon, becoming the father, having grandchildren, or something. So, like joyful occasion, understand? But what happens if there is complication? Nowadays, I got a niece who is a doctor in the houseman. He is in the baby ward. He said, he called me Erpa, Nipa. He said, Nipa, nowadays a lot of birth are not natural. I said, why? My mother gave birth to 9 all natural. He said, now all need cesarean. Don't know how, don't know why. The mother are so different, so weak. They don't have the strength to actually push and deliver. They are not as tough as our parents at that time. So because of that, they actually have a lot of complications. That's why they pay a lot of money to have good gynae and other things. So these are the realities of birth. Then when you have complication, who worry? The parent worry. The in-law also worry. The grandparent also worry. The spouse also worry. Then people who are related to you also affected. That's why this is the first noble truth reality, prevalence of suffering. Then when it comes to old age, we associate with the word dementia, understand? Your senses are failing you. Like now Chi Wei, he told me just now, Brett, I need to sit in front. This is my favorite seat. Why? His hearing is not so good. Then the eyesight not so good. This is normal. Like the Buddha said, this body of ours is of the nature to grow old, get sick and die, because it goes the way of nature. It's not a permanent, unchanging entity. It's not you. It's only element. That's why he teaches how to reflect that five daily contemplation to understand the Four Noble Truths and to develop the understanding to counter the Four Noble Truths. So after that separation, disease. Disease, now you talk about health problem. And then people understand. Oh, health problem. A lot of people have health problem. This morning also, Bing Lim told me he had a bypass many years ago, 8 years ago. Then luckily, he has that confidence, the faith. I think he received Ti Zhang Wang Fu Sa Ho, that gave him the faith and all those things. That's why he managed to go through, survive, and until now still very good. But there are a few that he saw not easy. They actually suffer. So all these are realities of life and existence. Okay? Then when it comes to separation, I already explained career and all those things, your economic condition, all those things. Then when you are with people whom you don't like, not only your bosses, I tell you, for the married lady, your mother-in-law, not easy to handle. Then your relationship with all those, even the kids when they go to school, sometimes the school has what they call bullies. So sometimes the maid or the nanny that look after the kid may not be friendly, they torture them, they ill-treat them. And a lot of these things are happening. So when you are with people whom you don't like in certain type of religion and race, they have a lot of incest and all those things. You understand? No? They live under intense fear. These are the people whom you don't like, you fear, you have phobia. Like child rape, or certain phobia that you develop when you go through life. So these are the modern terminology that you actually more familiar with. But they are all related to this eight reality. Okay? So the Buddha said there is this eight reality within life. The first noble truth of dukkha, prevalence of suffering. If you don't have the understanding of this teaching, you will suffer. Okay? Then the second noble truth is what? Second noble truth. The cause of the arising of dukkha. Understand now? Of dukkha. And what is the cause? Like the final summary, what is the cause? Sakkāditthi, that condition, Sakkāditthi means Sakkāditthi, Sakkāditthi, or self-illusion. That condition? Craving, that condition, craving, grasping, clinging. Clinging and attachment. So because of this sakkāditthi or self-delusion, you believe you are real, you exist. The five degrees of form and mind is you. So what happens if you attach to your physical body? You will worry about it getting old, getting sick and dying. You think it's you. And how many of you can really honestly tell yourself this is not you? When you fall sick, get old, confront the first noble truth reality, the first form, maybe the second, third and fourth. Can you really cope? Unless you have that Dhamma, the understanding, the sati, the mindfulness, to see all this that the Buddha has taught, that this self that you believe exists, this entity that you call yourself by a certain name, like this one, you call me Brother Teo, and you have your identity. Is this me? I already told you. Is this me? Don't just say because you are Buddhist, no, Brother Teo, not you. If it's not me, then what is this? This is the vehicle and tool that I come to this universe, understand? Karmically conditional from my karmic nature to do this work, to live life, to understand life. I have that Dhamma, I know how to come, I understand life, I know how to live life, I can continue with this work. You understand? But this one is not me. Why? Because it's impermanent. It goes the way of nature. I got no control of it. But this one, because it's impermanent, if I attach, cling, deludedly grasp and believe it's me, I suffer. Can't you see this? You can only see this if you silence your mind, develop the inner awareness to be aware. Then without thought, who are you? Find out the entity. Then you will realize the awareness nature, which is the deathless element. That one never dies, eternal. The form and mind can separate and die, you call die. But that nature never dies. Where that one is continuously evolving. So this one, the form and mind, is just one segment of my existence that arises within this universe. And we have taken birth for aeons and aeons and aeons of life. Which one is you? Every birth you take, aeons and aeons, maybe billions and billions of billions of existence. Which one is you? None of them is you. They are all karmically conditioned. And you develop the karmic nature. Then the Buddha said, you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, condition and supported by your karma. And you are what you are because of your karma. So coming back to this, if I know this noble truth of dukkha, then if I know there is a cause behind, then I can manage my life already. True enough. I know these are reality. Not only I have to confront, every living being has to confront birth, old age, sickness and death. Do you understand? So you got two choices. Be like normal, heedless, deluded living being. Attach, grasp and cling because of sakyadity, then suffer, become miserable. Understand? The other way is understand this teaching, develop the inner awareness, the sati, the mindfulness, to awaken to the unreality of this form and mind. To see clearly, who are you, what are you, and how this five degree of form and mind function as a human being. This one is subject to karma, related to your karmic nature, but it's not you. Because this one make of element, the physical body. How can it be you? True or not? Element goes the way of nature. That's why evil, after birth, evil develop, aging, sickness and death. This one is not a permanent unchanging entity. Since birth until now, are you the same entity? No more. Then which aspect of that form and mind is you? The old brother Teo or the young brother Teo? Which one? None. It's like every moment, every instant is evolving, changing. Your cells, everything, your breath, your consciousness, all these are ever changing. Then the other aspect of the understanding is, the Buddha said the five aggregate, that is the physical form, first aspect, as a human being. Then we have a consciousness trapped inside, which we call mind. And this mind, like the Buddha explained, is capable of four things. That's why he summarized the mind into these four aggregates of mind. He said, to understand the four aggregates of mind, very simple. Ask yourself, what can your mind do? Huh? Your mind can? Feel! Hot and cold, pleasant, unpleasant, you can feel. So there's an aggregate of feeling. So it's feeling you. When you feel miserable, is that you? Then after that, you recover, you become happy. Did you die? You didn't die. So how can feeling be you? So if form is not you, feeling is not you, then every moment you perceive something, then next moment you perceive another thing, perception come and go, and you didn't die. So how can the aggregates of mind, feeling and perception be you? Then your thought, activity, your mind state. Sometimes you feel peaceful, sometimes you feel restless, sometimes you feel all the joy, the happiness, the fear, the worry, the anxiety, the phobia. All these mind states, they come and they go, they arise and they pass away. Did you die? You didn't die, means Sankara can never be you. Understand? So 4:15 is up. My wife, very good timekeeper. But now I take away a bit of the meditation time. Maybe another 15 minutes I should finish. So what happened is, when you understand all this, then the last one is consciousness. You can become conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. But consciousness come and go. Did you die? Did you die? You didn't die then. If you didn't die, how can it be you? That's why you must be deluded to believe they are you. If the five aggregate of form and mind is not you, then who are you? What are you? Why did they arise in you? This is your meditative question, inquiry. This is what you have to do, silence your mind and realize the Dhamma that is beyond thought, beyond mind, that the Buddha taught us. We chant the salutation to the Dhamma. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo. What is the meaning? Well expounded is the Buddha. The Dhamma by the Buddha. And what is this Dhamma? This Dhamma is sanditiko, can be realized in the here and the now. And this Dhamma is akaliko, timeless, beyond thought, beyond time. So how can you use thought to meditate, to hope to realize a state of Dhamma that the Buddha teaches that is beyond thought, beyond time? The instrument you use is wrong. Then this Dhamma, again, the Buddha said, not only sanditiko, akaliko, ehipasiko, is it? You are invited to investigate, and it's time of the investigation. Where is the truth? Then not only that, this Dhamma is opanayiko. Opanayiko means leading inward into your nature, your heart, your mind, your nature through the gateway. Then, pacetang veditapo vinohiti means this wisdom and Dhamma can only be realized by the wise, each for themselves. That's why you need sati, mindfulness, to be aware, stable, to see all this. Then you start to realize what the Buddha meant by this body and mind is not me, not a permanent unchanging entity. It come and it go. That's why it's impermanent. If you attach and cling and want things your way, which is not nature's way, governed by the nature's law that governs life and existence, the Panchaniyama, then you suffer. And because it's impermanent, that's why there is no such thing as a permanent unchanging entity that you can say, this is me, this is I, this is self. That's why it's anatta, non-self. And because of that, everything that arises, they follow nature's law, dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena, no reality, empty nature of existence. This is how you awaken and realize, then not to be deluded by this cause of suffering. Because you cling to that ego, the personality, the egoic mind, self-delusion, deludedly cling onto this. That's why it conditions you to crave, to grasp, to cling, to attach your loved one, your possession, your body, your house, your property, your wealth, your friend, your parent. All this establish sakyadity relationship. But don't get the Buddha wrong. The Buddha said all this exists within the conditioned world. Understand? There is such thing as parent, brother, sister, human being. And all these are subject to karma, law of karma. And within the existential world, relationship exists. That's why he said the five heavy karma, matricide, recognizes relationship. But in the unconditioned world of unconditioned Dhamma, when you realize the third noble truth, cessation of form and mind, even in the Heart Sutta, it stated clearly, in true emptiness, all this don't exist. Understand? So our purpose is to understand his teaching, that this five aggregate of form and mind, even though it's not you, but it's related to your karmic nature, you understand? You cannot simply do things. You have to follow the Dhamma way. Means, noble eightfold path. If you kill and harm, you cannot say, hey, non-self lah, not me lah, not my parent lah, not my... Where got such thing? Law of karma recognizes relationship. This is the conditioned Dhamma, understand? That's why you have to understand this and live life in accordance. That's why you must take care of karma, the first right view. How to take care of karma? Advice of the Buddha. Dhammapada verse 183. Avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind. And this is what understanding is. Not to be deludedly conditioned by the words, the Dhamma words, the Dhamma knowledge. And you contradict yourself without understanding. One side you say anicchang dukkhang anatta. The other side you say me, I. Then you say, oh, non-self, I shouldn't grasp, I shouldn't cling, I shouldn't have craving, I shouldn't have attachment. But can you have the understanding to live life? Without the awareness nature to see clearly all this, to awaken to the universal characteristic, you can never understand. Dhamma knowledge can never free you. Can follow? Okay? So sati is very important. Mindfulness. Stabilize it to see all this clearly based on what I have shared and explained to you. So the third noble truth, the Buddha said, when you know what dukkha is and the cause of its arising, then you know how to manage your life better. Understand? If you know that this is the cause of suffering, then what did the Buddha teach you? The five daily contemplation, what are they? No, the five daily contemplation. This body of mine is of the nature to grow old, get sick and die. For it has not gone beyond old age, sickness and death. Means to tell you that the physical body don't belong to you, understand not? It belongs to nature, it goes the way of nature. So when your body is sick, do not cling, do not attach and grasp, and do not allow your mind to be sick together. Understand? Then in life you say, if this body is not me, I sick, no need to do anything. What is your understanding? Huh? You have to develop the understanding. What happens when you are sick? Do what you have to do lah, understand? Now you got two choices. Complain, react, and become miserable. There is one choice. What is complain? Attach. Understand now? What is miserable? Suffering. What is reaction? Not able to accept the reality that this is non-self, not you. Understand now? So if you don't want to learn this teaching, don't want to develop the awareness to understand, then what happens? You will suffer, understand? That's why I say you got two choices. But if you learn this teaching, then you realize, why did the Buddha say, this body of mine is of the nature to grow old, get sick and die? The key answer is, it goes the way of nature. Only element, no knowing. How can it be you, understand not? The form continue to age, decay, and one day die. So see, understand. Physically, it can never be me. Then don't worry, don't attack. But because you don't meditate, you worry when you die, you don't know what happened to this fellow. They will tell you, you go to hell. You don't believe in their religion, you go to eternal hell. You believe in their religion, they promise you eternal heaven. But after you die, you don't know what happened to you. So, what are you doing? So, through delusion, through sakkayadity, you become like tempted to believe. You think by believing something, you can have the answer, you can understand life, you can liberate your mind. When you meditate with the awareness, you know nothing done. The consciousness and this one that is trapped inside can come out, and you never die. And when this one come out, it's separate, form and mind separate, the human being within the conditioned world say you die. Actually, you didn't die. That random of consciousness still come out. But rebirth consciousness already gone. If you don't meditate, you cannot understand. But if you have the awareness nature, you will not die the normal way. The awareness nature will be there. That's why when I was 8 or 9 years old, very young, my consciousness came out. Then I saw how the craving for dissipate from my body, how the consciousness come back into one and detach and float out of my body. I was fully aware. No fear, nothing. But I was very tired when I played until no more energy. Then the craving falls also no more. Then this one came out. Actually, I died. Because after that, I cannot go in. So I saw my brother come in, say all those things to us. Then I call him. He cannot hear me. I was not in my physical body, but I can have the consciousness that is fully aware and with the senses there. Then I knew something wrong. Then I saw my body down there. Then I tried to go in. I just zoom in. I cannot take control of my body. It's not my body. But because I'm a bodhisattva from the past, that's why I know how to get in. Suddenly, I just know what to do. I was still very young. I don't even know the Dhamma. I just forced it. Pop, I went in. Then the first thing I want to know is check with my brother, did he went in and say all those things? Means I am not hallucinating or dreaming or what? He said, yeah, you were sleeping like a log. How did you know? That's why I say, nothing done. You have awareness, deep mind, you can see the whole process of your consciousness separate. Then you can continue. A lot of things you can understand. Then you have realized the unconditioned, the cessation of form and mind, you can cease. Then you have your bodhisattva vow. You will have the causes and conditions to come back again, to take rebirth, and continue your training. Understand? So all these are understanding. So the third noble truth is, oh sorry, this one I haven't finished. Eh? So the first three is to counter the unreality, yeah, of this form, understand now? Then the next one is what? Huh? Next one is what? All this that I think I own and I possess, my loved one, my prized possession, they were separate from me one day. How? When your breath stopped, you no longer own anything, understand? That's why they were separate. Sometimes before your breath stopped, it also disappear and separate. Why? Crisis or stolen or damaged through maybe calamity or nature's disaster or economic crisis. It's gone. Understand? So they don't really belong to you. That's why they say, 来也空,去也空, 那么施主何必苦苦为空流泪? Those who don't know Mandarin, when you come to this world, you are born into this world, you bring along anything or not? Huh? You bring along anything or not? Huh? You cry, but you don't bring along anything. And when you leave this world with all your wealth, possession, beautiful wives and all those things, can you bring them along? You can't, isn't it? You come empty, you go empty. Then what you do in between? You cry, grieve, and suffer over what? Emptiness. Understand? Empty nature existence. Then like Sui An every time used to joke. When you die, your body is in heaven. You believe in that religion. But your money is still on earth, no, in the bank now. 人在天堂,钱在银行. So is that the way to understand life? To spend your money? Or they say there are two ways to spend your money. One way is when you are alive, healthy, can move around, can really live life, you didn't spend. No. But when you are sick or bedridden, you also need to spend your money. Well, that one spent very fast. Oh. When you work that time career, one year maybe good job also 100,000, 200,000. That one one day, two day, sometimes emergency one 10 days 100,000 gone already. Then like the Singapore daughter realized in the Singapore ICU and for 1 month I think the mother almost 1 million sing the bill came up. So there are two ways to spend. Sang ngao ngao yong or fan tai ni yong. You understand what? When you are lying down in the hospital, you also use a lot of money. So either way, you use your money. So when you understand this teaching, you know how to live life, you know how to manage time. That's why you have condition to make offering, donation, or what. Do these are the what they call merits that will accrue to your karmic nature. Understand? It doesn't mean that you cannot accrue anything. You can. That's why the Buddha said you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, condition, and you are what you are because of karma. And that is the fifth daily contemplation, you understand? And this five daily contemplation is to break the four noble truth, first noble truth reality. The eighth reality, this five daily contemplation give you the answer. So when you know you are born of your karma, heir to your karma conditions, for you are what you are because of your karma, you must take care of karma. That's why you cannot simply break precept, live life deludedly. Then you start to understand why the Buddha teach the three evil roots that make you evil, greed, hatred, and delusion. When you have them, they are the root of all evil. They make you evil. That's why it leads to karmic downfall. Your life becomes miserable. So now you want to understand why is your life like that? You ask yourself. The answer is in the fifth daily contemplation. You are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditions, and you are what you are because of karma. So you cannot blame anybody else except your karma for what happened to you. Why some people good life, beautiful life, always like very lucky, well protected, guided, things go their way. Why some people full of misery, like non-stop suffering, misery. All this come from the teaching, the understanding of this teaching. So this five daily contemplation is related. So the Buddha said, third noble truth, suffering may not be. Suffering may not be. Means enlightenment in the here and the now is possible. Means it's possible to realize enlightenment in the here and the now. And this is what Nibbana is. This one is to realize the unconditioned. The unconditioned can only arise if you have developed the sati, the mindfulness, the awareness, to insight into phenomena, to see things as they are, to awaken, to develop the Dhamma wisdom. When you have this wisdom, your mundane mind loses its power to grasp, cling, and hold. That's why cessation of form and mind happen. Initially, it can be a glimpse. Later, longer duration. And this is most important, because the moment this happens, enlightenment in the here and the now, the sainthood way trigger. Then, first stage of sainthood, maximum 7 lives. Second stage, non-returner. Once returner, you only come back to the sanctuary one more time. Then, anagami, third stage of sainthood, non-returner, you take birth in the pure heaven. Then arahant, segmented life, birth and death, no more, finish. Then the Buddha never stopped there. He don't tell you that this is possible, then don't teach you how. Understand? That's why the fourth noble truth, he teach you how. He said there is a path that leads to the end of suffering, namely the Noble Eightfold Path. So this is the topic, Noble Eightfold Path and its three turning. Later on, we will go into all this. If you cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the end of all suffering. Why cultivate this? So that you have the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path factor and as well. So that you are very noble in all aspects of life and existence. Otherwise, you cannot become enlightened. Cessation of form and mind cannot arise. He said, if you cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the end of all suffering. The Satipatthana Sutta also says, under Dhamma Nupassana, the last category of cultivation is mindfulness of the Four Noble Truths, which include the Fourth Noble Truth, Noble Eightfold Path. Okay? So this is what you need to know. Why the Dhamma is so beautiful, so important, and not to be heedless anymore. Okay? Understand? Yeah. Sadhu. Sadhu.